We are a country full of workaholics. In fact, in the United States, the average person works 1,783 hours a year. That's a lot of hours. And by the way, that is our indicator today, 1,783.
Americans work fewer hours than people in countries like Mexico, South Korea, and Greece. But we work way longer hours than people in Germany, Denmark, and Norway. Those countries, they work the fewest hours of all the world's advanced economies. And Simon Cooper, a writer for the Financial Times, has crunched the math.
So those countries are working 400 hours a year less than the average American. And that, you know, that's close to 8 hours, 7 to 8 hours a week. So, you know, that is a real difference in your experience of life. You know, imagine leaving work an hour and a half earlier every day. That's what the Scandinavian worker is doing compared to the American worker.
Stacey, we're getting out of here at 3:30 today.
I am leaving right now. I know. I need my 400 hours back. I want my 400 hours back.
Well, Simon thinks all of us might someday have the option of getting those hours back in the form of a shorter work week. And today, he tells us why.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Swell Investing, an impact investing platform blending purpose and profit. Invest in high-growth companies improving the world without checking your values at the door. Claim a $50 bonus through swellinvesting.com/money.
A couple of weeks ago, the biggest labor union in Germany negotiated a new deal with hundreds of German companies. Yes, workers got a raise, but the thing that got all the headlines was that workers won the option of working just 28 hours a week for up to 2 years without losing any ground in their companies and without falling off their career tracks.
And Simon Cooper argues that there's a couple of reasons that a shorter, more flexible work week is about to spread beyond Germany. First reason, the next generation.
Simon cites a few surveys that show that young adults right now have different priorities for their lives than previous generations did. And at their jobs, they see flexibility as even more important than how quickly they advance in their careers.
You know, if you're 30 years old now, it's very likely you will still be working into your 70s. So careers have got very long. There is much more chance of having to care for your aged parents at some point. If you're a man, you will expect to do childcare and work at the same point. And of course, women have expected that for a long time.
So a busy life at home, but also a work life that seems to never leave you alone.
And, you know, of course, that's got more insane with constantly connected life, so that your boss can send you an email at 11 p.m. There's something I need you to look at. And so people feel very overwhelmed by that as well.
Yeah, you can buy a dozen self-help books on how to squeeze more out of your day or whatever. But what Simon argues is really needed is a systemic change. Work-life balance needs to stop being just a catchphrase. But for that to happen, the right conditions need to be in place.
And in Germany, the right conditions were in place. The labor union that won the deal represents workers in Germany's metal sector. And it wasn't just an act of charity by German companies in this sector to offer workers a 28-hour work week.
And the significance is that I think this is the kind of canary in the gold mine, because the German metal sector is just about the most booming sector in the world.
See, when a sector is booming, companies have trouble finding enough skilled workers. So the workers have bargaining power. And in this case, German companies felt like they had to make this offer to their workers to keep them happy.
And guess what? Workers in other countries are starting to catch up. And that's the second reason Simon thinks that giving people the option to work less is going to spread. For the first time, unemployment across 35 of the richest countries has fallen below where it was before the financial crisis started almost 10 years ago.
So workers, and especially young workers, increasingly want more flexibility, and there's a healthier global labor market that means they're in a position to ask for that flexibility.
And if the trend does spread, it could have all kinds of effects.
For example, typically a woman in a job like law or accountancy who said, well, I'm having trouble managing both my children and my job, typically she would be pushed onto the mummy track. And so essentially she would be downgraded for the rest of her career, which is insane. You take somebody who's highly trained, and then because she's raising kids full time for a few years or most of the time, you say, okay, you're never going to have a powerful job in this organization again. I think that period is going to end. And I think what we're moving towards now is that you can say, okay, the next 2 years I need to work 28 hours. But in 10 years' time, you know, my kids will have left home, and then I'm happy to work 45 hours. So you, working life becomes like a roller coaster in that way, and a roller coaster designed to your particular needs. And that will suit employers better, because then they don't have to get rid of you just because you have a, you know, a life issue at home that's stopping you working all hours for a couple of years.
Of course, the option of working a shorter week will not affect all workers in the same way.
People who make a lot of money, they can afford to hire people to help with their kids, so they won't need to work less. And people with really low-income jobs won't want to work less because they still need the extra money. It's the middle class that'll really be affected, Simon thinks. People who have a decent salary but could use the extra time. A final word about sources cited in this episode, and of course we'll include links at npr.org/money. Of the surveys on young adults that Simon looked at, one was from Deloitte and another was from Comparably. Data for the Global Work Week came from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, also known as the OECD, and the OECD also provided the data on the overall unemployment rate for its 35 member countries. For more on how Americans spend their hours, you can also check out the American Time Use Survey from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
With all your extra time. This podcast, by the way, is produced by Darius Rafieyan and edited by Patty Hirsch.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Swell Investing, an impact investing platform that identifies high-growth companies solving today's biggest environmental and social challenges. Claim your $50 bonus through swellinvesting.com/money.
Hello, just dropping in to remind you about Here and Now. We cover the day's most essential news with context so you know the why and what's next. A fast-paced snapshot of the world every day. Listen to Here and Now on NPR One or wherever you listen to podcasts.